Chapter 21. Cale Clark planned and schemed. The days of the journey from Mars to Earth wound their clockwise course. The ship time switched gradually from Cimmerian daylight time to Imperial City time. But the night outside, with its flashingly bright sun off to one side, and everywhere else starry darkness, was an unchanging environment. Meals were eaten. Clark slept and dreamed and moved and had his being. His thoughts grew more direct, more determined. He had no doubts. A man who had put away fear of death could not fail. The sun grew brighter. It splashed spiral-like across the darkness. Mars receded to a point of smallness, a reddish dot in a sea of night, hard to find among the starry brilliance of the jewel-case sky. Gradually, Earth became a large, shining ball of light, then a monstrous, misty, unbelievable thing that filled half the sky. The continent showed through, and on Earth's night side, partly visible as the ship swung past the moon, the city shone with an intermittent glitter that rivaled the heavens themselves. Clark saw that vision of Earth in snatches only. 5 days from destination, he had discovered a stud poker game in one of the holds. From the beginning, he lost. Not every game. An occasional win helped him recuperate a few credits. But by the third day of the endless game, the second last of the trip, the direction of his fortune was so marked that he took alarm and quit. In his cabin, he counted the money that remained to him, 81 credits. He had paid 8% commission on the 1,000 credits to the representative of the bank. The rest had gone on fare, poker losses, and one Imperial-style gun. At least, Clark thought, I'll soon be back in Imperial City, and with more money than when I arrived last time. He lay back, amazingly at ease. The poker losses did not disturb him. He hadn't, when he came right down to it, planned to try gambling again. He had a different picture of his life. He would take risks, of course, but on a higher level. He had won 500,000 credits, at least, in the Penny Palace. It would be difficult to collect it, but he would succeed. He felt himself patient and capable, ready for all eventualities. As soon as he had the money, he would secure a commission from Colonel Medlin. He might pay for it, and he might not. It depended upon the moment. There was no vengefulness in his plan. He didn't care what happened to two venal creatures like Fatty and the Colonel. They were stepping stones, it seemed to Clark, in the most ambitious scheme that had ever been planned in the Empire of Isher. A scheme rooted in a fact that seemed to have escaped all the creature men who had risen to positions of rank in the Imperial service. Inelda of Isher meant well by the country. In his one contact with her, he had sensed a personality frustrated by the corruption of others. In spite of the talk against her, the Empress was honest, on a Machiavellian level, of course. Clark did not doubt that she could issue an order of execution. But that was part of her function as a ruler. Like himself, she must rise to the necessities of her situation. The Empress was honest. She would welcome a man who would use her limitless authority to clean house for her. For 2.5 months now, he had been thinking over what she had said that day in Medlin's office, and he had some pretty shrewd answers. There was her reference to officer prospects, staying away in droves because they heard something was up. And her accusation of a pro-weapon shop conspiracy tied in with the inexplicable closing of the shops. Something was up, and for a man who had made a personal contact, it spelled massive opportunity. To all his planned actions, Clark made but one qualification. First, he must seek out Lucy Rawl and ask her to marry him. That hunger would not wait. The ship came down into its cradle a few minutes before noon on a cloudless day. There were formalities, and it was 2 o'clock before Clark's papers were stamped and he emerged into the open. A breeze touched his cheeks, and from the peak of metal that was the landing field, he could see the dazzling city to the west. It was a view to make a man catch his breath, but Clark did not waste any time. From a stat booth, he called Lucy's number. A pause, then a young man's face came onto the screen. "I'm Lucy's husband," he said. "She went out for a minute, but you don't want to talk to her." Persuasively. "Take a good look at me and you'll agree." Clark stared blankly, but the familiarity of the other's face would not penetrate through the shock of the words he had spoken. "Look hard," the image in the stat urged. Clark began, "I don't think that..." And then he got it. He drew back like a man whose face had been slapped. He He put out his hand as if he would defend his eyes from a vision that was too bright for them. He could feel the blood draining from his cheeks, and he swayed. The now familiar voice drew him back to normalcy. "Pull yourself together," it said, "and listen. I want you to meet me tomorrow night on the beach of the Haberdashery Paradise. Take one more look at me, convince yourself, and be there." Clark didn't need the look, but his eyes sought the image face. And there was no question. The face that was staring at him from the stat was his own. Cale Clark was looking at Cale Clark. At 2:10 p.m., October 4th, 4784, Isher.